Hello, my name is Lisa Rosales Mora, coming to you today from the Talking Information Center in Marshfield, Mass. And today is Thursday, July 2nd, 2026. And I will be reading from the Duxbury Clipper, the edition of Wednesday, July 1, 2026. And we will begin with an article on water woes. PFAS and nitrogen continue to concern the Board of Health. What's getting into the water supply? That was the focus of the Board of Health's meeting on June 18th. The discussion centered around nitrogen runoff from fertilizer and continued concerns over excess levels of PFAS in the Lakeshore Drive well. Most towns on Cape Cod have rules about fertilizers and nitrogen, Health Agent Lauren Hatch said. However, in 2012, the legislature passed a bill that took away municipalities' rights to develop their own rules. The only exceptions were coastal towns with regional planning jurisdictions, such as the Cape Cod Commission and the Nantucket Board of Health. I know that it's been a topic, especially with what's happening in the Bluefish River, Hatch said. She said town council should weigh in if action should be taken. Hatch said, She was more than focused on informing the public rather than passing bylaws regarding fertilizer use. There's a town group at town hall that oversees the municipal vulnerability planning grant and is trying to get the public to weigh in. There are people who are pushing for clover lawns because they don't need fertilizer or watering, she said. I'm not sure how well that would go over, but there's definitely alternatives. I've seen fertilizers that don't have the nitrogen component in them at all, so there are options out there. Hatch said the health department had applied for a $50,000 grant that could be used to find the source of the nitrogen that's been flowing down the Bluefish River. The Department of Marine and Fisheries has been taking water samples of the Bluefish River and Standish Shores. The samples taken around the Standish Shore have shown higher samples for fecal coliform than nitrogen, Hatch said. Getting the grant approved would help get a clearer idea of what's impacting the bay, she noted. Hatch said she thought there would be some collaboration with the Duxbury Bay Maritime School to take the samples if the grant is approved. She said they wouldn't know until September if the grant is approved. She gave credit to Brian Walsh of the Coastal Resiliency Task Force, along with Peter Quigley, for leading the effort to get the grant. One person at the meeting noted that there is a leaching feel for the Snug Harbor Shared Septic under the Duxbury Yacht Club golf course, and all the runoff leads into the river. As for PFAS, Nancy Chen of the Duxbury Safe Water Committee said her group would appreciate it if the Board of Health got the Select Board to follow through on their promise to have more meetings about PFAS and the issues with the Lakeshore Drive well. She noted that a lot of Select Board's time had been focused on the Powder Point Bridge. The Board of Health needs to keep on their back because it is an important issue to resolve with PFAS and the notification of Lakeshore Drive residents. This time of year, the Lakeshore Drive well goes full tilt because of the increased demand, Chen said. I would hope that we would be able to go before the Select Board and have discussions on how to better handle this now and into the future. Shutting down the Lakeshore Drive wells entirely has been, Glennon said, most notably by the Water and Sewer Advisory Board. The problem is that summer is when that well is used the most. Residents of Lakeshore Drive are in a unique position because they get their water directly from that well. Other Duxbury residents get their water from a combination of all the town's wells, which dilutes the amount of PFAS they're consuming. There have been a couple of discussions about PFAS at Lakeshore Drive, Select Board member Brian Glennon said. There was concern that the PFAS concentration was exceeding the 4 parts per trillion standard, he said. There were questions about whether that was being directly consumed by residents in that area. The Lakeshore Drive well is on the Select Board's radar. He said he wanted Water Superintendent Mark Cloud to coordinate with Hatch about notifications. Glennon added that one of the Select Board's goals for the new fiscal year is to strengthen coordination with the Board of Health, specifically on issues concerning PFAS. Hatch said she hoped some of the money could be used to purchase countertop filters for residents on both Lakeshore Drive and the Gurnet. Homeowners there get their water from Marshfield, which is also over the PFAS standard. There are very few filters certified for PFAS removal, Board of Health member Melissa Rosenblatt said. It would be important to hand out the right equipment. The DEP probably won't start enforcing the more stringent standards until around 2032, Hatch said. Regardless of when the regulations are enforced, the goal is to have as little PFAS in the wells as possible, Glennon said. And bringing a touch of New England to Hollywood, Duxbury's Brian Felty brings Widow's Bay to life in new Apple TV show. While Apple TV's Widow's Bay features an immersive New England island full of mystery and superstition, it is no secret how the show immerses the audience into a scene that could be ripped straight from Martha's Vineyard. Duxbury resident Brian Felty was tasked with creating a colonial town similar to the one he's lived in for almost 20 years as one of the art directors on the show. From the distinctive look of old Jeeps to the wallpapers that line the interior of the Brickwater Inn, Felty helped create it all. We designed the sets and the whole world, he said. Felty grew up in a small town in Texas that hadn't seen much change since the 1880s, according to Felty. It was there that the movie industry would find him. There was Hollywood coming in, looking for a back lot, Felty said, basically of houses that looked period, which every house looks period there. Felty's grandfather, L.T. Felty, would show the director Horton Foote around the area for other places they could shoot. It was because of this that Felty would work his first project in the entertainment industry as a senior in high school, adding As a Soldier in 1918, which was released in 1985. After college, Felty moved to Dallas, where he worked in the film business, despite having been an art major. We did 200-plus commercials. We did corporate videos. We did, you know, lots of movies. That would come in mostly TV movies, but my biggest film at the time was Oliver Stone's JFK. And that was pretty amazing, he said. Since working on commercials, Felty has worked as an art director across the country, but has spent the past 5 years working on projects in Massachusetts, including Widow's Bay. Widow's Bay features an island 40 miles offshore of New England, where Mayor Tom Loftus, played by Matthew Rhys, is looking to build the tourism scene and put the island on the map. However, the island has a shady past that causes supernatural things to happen. As an art director for the show, Felty was challenged with creating immersive sets with a strong emphasis on New England and the supernatural. Therefore, for interior sets, he helped design inspiration from Clark's in the horror genre and the classics. Town Hall is a knockoff of Jaws, Feisty said. The Fog we watched. The Fog, there's a lot of inspiration in that movie. Some of the other ones were The Shining, of course, for the Brickwater Inn. After getting ideas from staples of the genre, the next step was to model their ideas so that the painters could bring them to life. For smaller pieces, Felty used a 3D printer. The crew was also able to print out wallpapers to give the interiors their time-worn feel. I thought it was great that we designed all the wallpaper that was in there. You can't buy that. We made it. We had the wallpaper printed. I think I had 4 different kinds of wallpaper in that hotel for the end, Felty said. Another important aspect that Felty needed to get right was the selection of cars on the island. Felty would ask himself, what would Mayor Tom Loftus drive? And what kind of cars would be found on a small island? The result is a collection of old Jeeps and vans that have lasted over 40 years. There's Volvos and Volvo station wagons. Just everything is old, which in the very beginning of production I understood. I want everything old, old and weathered. Been there forever, Felty said. There were beaters, which matched the island. In addition to interiors and cars, Felty also worked on smaller details such as game pieces and a pivotal buoy. He also designed the cover of the Necromesser book found in episode 4. Between projects, Felty takes time to enjoy the Duxbury air on his back porch and gives time to the community. He helps design and manufacture displays for his wife Kimberly's yarn shop, Pearl and Anchor in Norwell. Additionally, he was on the committee to resurrect a World War I monument across from Duxbury Town Hall and was heavily involved with Boy Scouts when his sons were younger. I really like being an adopted New Englander, Felty said. And in weather reflections, notice the 10-degree difference in weekly temperatures comparing last year with this year. In the same week of 2025, Duxbury saw a 4-day heat wave and also a rare 101-degree reading. Meanwhile, by the time you are reading this, our fair town should be considerably warmer than what we have seen over the past several weeks, with temperatures near or above 90 degrees. In addition, the National Weather Service continues to forecast above normal temperatures in its 6-to-10-day and 8-to-14-day outlooks for our region. It behooves all of us to venture on, in or near the water, and enjoy the heat, if at all possible. And yes, it is going to be a scorcher for the next 4 days. And of course, we've got some July 4th happenings. On July 4th, there is the road race at the Steel Athletic Building, 180 St. George Street, 8:30 a.m. start time. Register at DuxburyEducationFoundation.org. The parade starts at Hall's Corner, Washington Street, to Duxbury Middle High School, 2 p.m. start time. DuxburyCelebrates.com. And, of course, the breakfast, July 5th, Cornerstone Lodge, 585 Washington Street, 8 to 11. And there'll be July 4th road closings and parking. And in other news, from the center, travel with the center. The Senior Center. Experience some of the world's most remarkable destinations. Explore the imperial cities, Spain, the Canadian Rockies, and northern Italy on professionally guided tours designed to make travel easy, enriching, and enjoyable. Travel with friends, meet new people, and enjoy the convenience of exploring the world with the center. Visit the website or contact the center for details and information. Centers. Honoring the Earth from Above. Join award-winning photographer, pilot, and arts educator Margot Scheel on Wednesday, July 1. Cooking for One Made Easy. This is going to happen on Friday, July 10th. Cooking for One doesn't have to mean eating the same leftovers all week. Join registered dietitian Tara Hames on Friday, July 10th at 11 for practical tips on preparing healthy, budget-friendly meals, size for one. Learn strategies to reduce food waste, save money, and enjoy nutritious meals without the hassle. Author Luncheon with Heather Abel. Join the Duxbury Literary Circle for lunch and conversation with novelist Heather Abel on Wednesday, July 8th at 1 at the Center. Abel will discuss her new novel, The Emilies, which explores identity, family, and the ways our lives intersect. Lunch is available for $15. And as a special bonus, if your name is Emily, lunch is on us. Outdoor encore concert with the South Shore Babe Band. Enjoy an evening of live music outdoors with the South Shore Babe Band on Saturday, July 11th from 6 to 8 at the Center. This free community concert will feature a lively selection of classics, favorites, and patriotic tunes, making it the perfect way to spend a summer evening. In the event of rain, the concert will be held on Sunday, July 12th. And Oyster Shucking 101. Learn to shuck oysters like a pro on Wednesday, July 15th at 2. And, of course, there's free transportation for residents 60+. Call the Council on Aging 48 hours in advance to schedule a ride. Care Solace is a free confidential service available to all Duxbury residents, helping connect individuals to mental health and social service providers. Call 781-934-5774 to schedule an appointment. After 3 decades of hiatus, Duxbury Fun Runs for Kids returns this summer for 6 consecutive Mondays starting July 6th. Races for ages 2 through 9 will be held 6 to 7 at Duxbury High on St. George Street. The welcome desk opens at 5:30 and parents or caregivers must be present. There is no cost to participate. This series is sponsored by the Duxbury Rec Department and Livable Duxbury Task Force. Looking for something to do? Come explore the Duxbury Rural and Historical Society's historic houses and new exhibits. The King Caesar House, 120 King Caesar Road, is open for tours 11 to 4 on Thursdays and Fridays. The 2026 exhibit, Prim and Proper Accessories for a Well-Dressed Life, is on display in the Potter Gallery. A gallery talk for the exhibit takes place on July 8th at 1. The gallery talk and tours are free, and donations are always welcome. Nathaniel Windsor Jr. House, 479 Washington Street, is open from 10 to 3, Monday through Friday. The 2026 exhibit, A Patriot Town, Duxbury and the American Revolution, is on display in the double parlor. Our back porch and harbor walk picnic table are also available for visitors to enjoy. Visitation is free. And the Bradford House, 931 Tremont Street, Breakfast at Bradford takes place on July 1 from 9 to 11, and it is open by appointment. To book, call 781-934-6106. Reader's View, thank you for sidewalks. A hearty thank you to the Duxbury Sidewalk and Bike Path Committee, Elaine Philbrook, Sheila Scarzi, Fernando Guitart, and everyone who donated to the Duxbury Town Path Council for bringing the wonderful new sidewalks on Washington Street to fruition. These sidewalks have greatly improved safety and recreational access for the town, and they really look great. As a regular walker, I cannot thank you enough. I hope the next phases of sidewalk improvements in town will start soon. Richard Kleiman on Chapel Street. Today, attending Raza John's memorial service, I expected the full range of emotions, from the sadness of feeling her absence to joy from being in the presence of so many people who loved her to pride. Razia had a profound impact on my life, as she did on many people's lives in Duxbury. Even more profound was the work she was able to accomplish as the founder of the Sabuli School for Girls in Deshubs, Afghanistan. Razia realized her superpower, and she went for it with all her heart. She was courageous, creative, and did not take no for an answer. She was a visionary who pursued her dreams, and in that pursuit gave many of us opportunities to contribute. May the memory of her generosity of spirit be eternal and inspire us all. And at the library, we have the Little Free Pantry, drop-in knitting, rock painting, a used toy swap drop-off, puppet playtime, composting with Master Gardener Gretel Ansbach, which is going to take place on July 7th at 10:30, a Pokemon Club trading event July 6th at 3, Mahjong Open Play July 6th at 1:30 and 5, and an Adult Puzzle Club July 6th at 10 a.m. Making plans for Duxbury. Board considers comprehensive plans recommendations. The planning board is checking its list to implement the town's comprehensive plan, better known as Envision Duxbury. At their meeting last Monday, board members considered such topics as expanding the supply of housing, EV charging stations, and the historic preservation, and providing more information on these topics. They also discussed affordable housing options for Duxbury's aging population, including the conversion of larger historic homes into multiple units. That is on the to-do list. Duxbury doesn't have the zoning to achieve this, Planning Board Kristen Rapp said. Right now, the only way to do this would be for the property owner to provide historical evidence the house had once been a multifamily dwelling before being converted for use by the family. There is a home at the corner of Washington and Harrison that has four condos in it, Rapp said. Lampert pointed out that the conversion occurred before zoning. Carpenter added that it was converted because the owner demonstrated that it had once been multifamily housing. There are only a few houses where a conversion is possible, said Matthew Hines, town planner. Allowing this type of conversion would require a zoning change, which Hines feared would be politically impossible. Carpenter suggested that the town could, as a pilot program, use 40B as a way to convert an available home. The legalization of accessory dwelling units took a lot of urgency out of the proposal, Planning Board member Jim Lampert said. Lampert recalled the attempt to turn the property that now houses Island Creek Oysters and some other businesses into multiple housing units, but that zoning change was rejected by town meeting. Another idea for expanding housing is to integrate it into existing business districts. That would include investing in new infrastructure in order to support the expanded usage. Lampert asked if there was room in any commercial buildings for housing, or was the idea to allow an increase in height. He said he doubted that the buildings could support a third floor. There have been numerous studies of Hall's Corner, Carpenter said. He proposed expanding the business districts with the consent of the abutters. Lampert said there would be a lot of opposition to expanding the business districts. That's why Carpenter said it would be done incrementally. People don't like planning because they feel like they've been dictated to. They're being told what they should or shouldn't do with their property, Carpenter said. He said he wanted to find a way to show people the developments. You do have to start from bottom up, and you do actually have to start on the ground with that particular area and getting the buy-in from immediate abutters, Gant said. The first step is identifying the businesses that might be interested and then identify which ones would be successfully expanded, Gant said. The businesses and the residents who live next to them have some shared problems, Carpenter said. He gave the example of shared septic systems. The existing business districts aren't big enough to have that, he added. Also on the list was a proposal to add more electric vehicle charging stations at non-single-family developments. Recent changes to the building codes require new garages at single-family homes to have EV charging capacity. Planning Board member Tad Carpenter said, according to the website regs, this means homes require EV-ready wiring, not the actual charging stations. The new proposal would affect such places as Island Creek Apartments or the Villages at Duxbury. Carpenter asked if the Planning Board could charge the Alternative Energy Committee with looking into what rules other towns have for parking at multifamily developments. Planning Board member Steve Gant said he thought that went beyond what the proposal is calling for. Carpenter disagreed, saying that the town already has parking requirements for larger developments, so we thought asking the AEC for input made sense. One task on the list is reviewing zoning related to historic districts to see if the current requirements respect the buildings and lot sizes. She suggested leaving this to the Historic Commission. Anything older than 75 years is considered historic, said Lampert. This one also strikes me as one of the biggest hot potatoes, Planning Board member Jim Lampert said, pointing out that people don't like having limitations placed on their private property. Carpenter commented that no zoning changes were being proposed and the Planning Board was only supposed to play a supporting role in developing the new rules. And in other news, the Girl Scout bridging ceremony was held June 14th at Holy Family Parish Center, with six troops ranging from daisies to seniors moving up to the next level of Girl Scouting. Anyone interested in getting started in Girl Scouts can contact Jenna Weschler at jennaluk@gmail.com or Melissa Brown at troop 791-45@gmail.com. And in other news, meet Fred and Barney. Fred is a total marshmallow, sweet, affectionate, and always up for cuddles. He'll never turn down a snack either. He loves attention and has naturally taken on the role of leader of the pack. Barney is a bit sweeter and more reserved, with little chirps that will melt your heart. He loves chasing balls and playing hide-and-seek, especially with Fred. Could your home be the perfect spot for this dynamic duo? Fred and Barney are ready for their forever home together. To learn more, visit standishhumane.org. And that is in Kitty Corner, and a cute pair of little kitties. Garden Club to hold hydrangea design demo. As part of this year's Hydrangea Festival, reservations are now being accepted for Summer Styling, a hydrangea design presentation led by the Community Garden Club of Duxbury and held at Duxbury Free Library on July 16th from 10 to 11:30. The demonstration includes tablescapes, refreshments, and giveaways. Additionally, Cornelia Reynolds, owner of Consider the Lilies, will design a signature arrangement inspired by Duxbury Beach. To reserve a seat, go to communitygardenclubofduxbury.org. The event is free and open to the public. And make a nomination for the Duxbury Community Volunteer Awards. From coaching sailing at Duxbury Bay Marine School to delivering Meals on Wheels, from coordinating PTA events to advising policy on a town committee, Duxbury volunteers make a huge contribution to our community. Recognizing the value of Duxbury volunteers is very important. Please consider nominating a local do-gooder. And that can be done at the Senior Center. You can get the form. That ends today's reading, and I thank you very much. Have a fantastic week, and happy July 4th.